These few verses from the Epistle to the Philippians tell us about the illness of a brother who, on behalf of the Philippians, brought a gift, probably financial support, to the imprisoned Apostle Paul in Rome. Among other things, they shed light on a question that moves some of God's children, namely, what illnesses and the healing of illnesses are all about. Here are a few thoughts on this. Illnesses are nothing unusual. When we read the Bible, we realize that the illnesses of believers are nothing unusual or strange. In both the Old and New Testaments, we find believers who are ill. In the Old Testament, we read about Jacob's illness, Genesis 48:1, and Elisha's illness, 2 Kings 13:14, both of whom died from their illnesses. Hezekiah also fell ill, Isaiah 38:1, but God had mercy on him. The New Testament tells of the illness of Peter's mother-in-law, Mark 1:30. We read about Lazarus, John 11:1, Trophimus, 2 Timothy 4:20, and also Epaphroditus falling ill. Illnesses are a consequence of the fall but are not in themselves a sin, but a human weakness. In the Garden of Eden, there was neither death nor illness, but since the fall, things have changed. Diseases that can affect the body, soul, and spirit accompany us to this day. It would be completely nonsensical to claim that believers cannot fall ill, and that if they do, something is certainly wrong in their lives. We must be careful, since this kind of teaching is quickly spreading in Christianity, yet it has no doctrinal foundation. Causes of illness. Apart from medical diagnoses, illnesses can have different causes. In any case, they are God speaking to us. In the case of the believers in Corinth, it was serious speech. They had treated the Lord's Supper lightly, 1 Corinthians 11:27-33. In the case of Lazarus, the reason was that the Lord Jesus was to be glorified as the Son of God, John 11:4. In the case of Epaphroditus, the situation was completely different. He had fallen ill because he had committed himself to the service of the Lord. Paul says it was for the sake of the work of the Lord. In the case of Trophimus or Timothy, God's word is completely silent about the cause of their illness. We see from this that we must be very careful in judging the cause of an illness. Everything that strikes us passes the loving eye of our Father and comes from His hand. Sometimes we recognize why He sends an illness, sometimes not. Prayers with the questions why and what for are perfectly normal, but sometimes God, in His wisdom, does not answer. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. Job 33:14. Especially when it is not ourselves but our brothers and sisters in faith who are affected by an illness, we should be very careful in our judgments. A hasty judgment is out of place. In any case, it is completely wrong to say that illness is always a consequence of personal sin. This may be the case in individual cases, but often the reasons are completely different. Sometimes God does not want to speak through the illness to the person affected, but to those around him or her. Healing is in the hands of God. The Lord Jesus establishes an important principle when he says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." Luke 5:31. This applies first of all in a figurative sense to the sinner who is spiritually sick. It also applies to anyone who is physically and/or mentally ill. God has given us doctors, and we should thankfully consult them when we are ill. Nevertheless, every healing is ultimately in the hands of God. He may or may not use a doctor for this purpose. In the case of Epaphroditus, there was obviously no doctor who could have helped. Reading the text, one gets the impression that the illness lasted longer, that the patient was going downhill, and that Paul was worried that he would die. In any case, God, in his wisdom, did not intervene immediately. It is also significant that Paul did not make use of the gift of healing the sick. Paul possessed this gift and had used it a short time before, Acts 28:8. But in the case of his friend and brother Epaphroditus, he did not use it. Spectacular, miraculous healings are not the means God uses to heal believers who have fallen ill. He can, and does, still perform miracles today. But the gift of healing the sick was, firstly, a gift of the beginning that has ceased. Secondly, it was a demonstration of God's power. We want to learn from this that every healing of an illness is in the hands of God. We may seek medical help, but we want to expect healing from God, who acts sovereignly and wisely. Healing is an act of God's mercy. Paul attributes the healing of Epaphroditus to God's mercy, for he says, God had mercy on him. God acts not only in power, but also in mercy. An illness is not just a trial for the person who falls ill. It not only affects those who are close to the sick person. No, every illness touches the heart of God. Let us not forget that. When the Lord Jesus was down here, he was moved with compassion by the sick and weak who were brought to him. To be inwardly moved means to be moved with compassion. As a merciful and faithful high priest, the Lord Jesus has compassion for our weaknesses, Hebrews 4:15. Thus, he deeply felt the suffering of Epaphroditus. He saw him in Rome in his distress when he was close to death. In his goodness and wisdom, he healed him. His healing was also an act of mercy towards Paul. In this way, the Lord not only sees the sick person himself, but also those who surround him. When God sends an illness, we want to try to accept it from his hand. Some illnesses are very difficult to understand and hard to endure. God does not always act as he did with Epaphroditus, but in every case we can be sure that he is merciful and gracious. No one empathizes with our illnesses as much as he does. The sorrow of Epaphroditus. The text about Epaphroditus's illness is found in Philippians 2 for a reason. This chapter poignantly shows us the mindset of our Lord, who thought not of himself, but of others. This way of thinking should characterize us, Philippians 2:4-5. Epaphroditus is given to us as an example of a believer in whom the mind of his Lord became visible. He was very troubled by his illness. It is normal for someone who is terminally ill to be very troubled. But when we learn the reason for Epaphroditus' restlessness, we are amazed. Paul writes, he was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. Epaphroditus's first concern was for his brothers and sisters in Philippi. He had heard that they were worried about him because he was ill. This is indeed the Lord's attitude. Epaphroditus will also have prayed for himself and worried about what would happen next. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit does not emphasize concern for himself but for others. This is a landmark example that shows us what work the Lord can do even in a sick person. The care of the Philippians and the care of Paul. But we also learn something else from this short text. Caring for one another is always mutual. Epaphroditus was concerned about his brothers and sisters back home, but they were just as worried about him. Paul was also sad that his co-worker had fallen ill. The illness of one of our loved ones can never leave us indifferent, be it a spouse, a child, parents, siblings, or those with whom the Lord has united us in faith. All our compassion belongs to those who are ill, even seriously ill. Paul writes, albeit in a different context, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, 1 Corinthians 12:26. Who do we tell our concerns to? We bring them to God in prayer. Paul writes in the same letter to the Philippians, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, Philippians 4:6. Personally and together, we can bring the needs of our sick and seriously ill brothers and sisters to our God. and then leave everything else to him. When Lazarus fell ill, his sisters sent to Jesus, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." John 11:3. Like the Philippians back then, a local assembly will still unite in prayer for the sick today. In this way, we can learn something for ourselves from the biblical account of Brother Epaphroditus's illness. At the same time, we look forward to the moment of perfection when there will be no more sickness and suffering. In the Father's house, our eternal home, there will be no more need, no more weakness, and no more suffering.